I have been blessed in times past to be able to preach at the church that Brother Darren pastors and also the church that Brother Sam Bryant pastors, but I've never actually preached before or after either one of them, and sandwiched in between two of them just seems too overwhelming to contemplate, because I know I'm not that caliber of these great men of God, and I thank the Lord for their ministry. But pray for me for a few moments as I stand before you, if you would. And turn with me, please, to Matthew, the 11th chapter and the 25th verse. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. This is the only kind of babe I've ever had a desire to be. You know, you sometimes hear people say, well, boy, she's a real babe. Or these days you might even hear somebody say, well, he's a real babe. And I don't want to be that kind of babe. And I know some of y'all are thinking, don't worry, Brother Neil. No chance. I started to say I'd just like to be an average Joe, but then I realized Brother Joe was here and there's nothing average about Brother Joe. But I'll be satisfied if the Lord will let me be a babe spiritually.
Amen.
Because there's some things that the Lord reveals unto the humble and lowly that he just simply doesn't choose to reveal to everybody.
Amen.
Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. That means if you know the Lord, as Brother Darren already told us, it's because the Lord knew you first.
Amen.
If you love Jesus, it's because Jesus loved you first. And because there's a causative nature to his love, when he sends his spirit into your heart and you are born again, as his brother mentioned, you're taught some things. You're taught some things. He writes his law in your heart. And you're taught then to love him. And we want to love him more. We want to know more so we can appreciate him better. But you wouldn't know him at all if he hadn't known you first. If he hadn't given you his spirit. If he had not indeed, as we read in 1 Corinthians 2 chapter, given you the mind of Christ.
Amen.
To be able to understand some things about him. And so this passage of Scripture is written to those people, to children of God who have been born again, who have been given eyes to see, ears to hear, a mind to understand some things about Jesus. And the next thing he says is, come unto me. Now we heard about a sense in which we come unto God in an eternal way and having been predestinated and having been chosen, having been redeemed by Jesus on the cross and having been born again. And the Lord says in John the 6th chapter, in the 44th verse, he says that all that the Father giveth them shall come to me. Or he says there, no man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And he also says that in the 37th verse, in understanding that there is a sense in which we come because we've been drawn.
Amen.
But we couldn't come if we hadn't been drawn.
That's right.
Okay? So in an eternal way, if you have a desire to go to God in heaven and a vision in your mind, no matter how darkly you may see it, but a desire to be with him, to go to him, a hope into your heart that someday I will come to my Father, it is because you are drawn of God.
Amen.
And because of that, you couldn't miss heaven if you tried.
Right. Amen.
Romans 8, 28, 29, 30, we read that. We know that all things work together to good to them that love God. Who loves God? The one who was loved first of God and was taught to love God. To them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he didn't know, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Because we understand as we read on down through there, that there is a calling of the Spirit. And we know that those that were called were also justified when Jesus died on the cross. Because he had predestinated them unto that. And they're also glorified in the mind of God. So in an eternal way, the person that has been drawn, who has a desire for God, is eternally God's, or they wouldn't have that desire.
Amen.
But now also, there is a comfort and a blessing in coming into relationship with the Savior now,
yep,
as a child of God, see? So there's an eternal way in which we come to God, and that is all of God. And there is a timely way in which we have the blessing of coming to God, which is also by the grace of God.
Yes.
See, we wouldn't have any desire for anything to do with it, as we heard from Brother Darren already, if the Lord had not already given us His Spirit. And here the Lord is saying something unto His children that I believe is still I kind of hesitate to use the word opportunity because I don't want to diminish it. But it is a privilege and it is a blessing of God if you're one of His children to come to Him for comfort right now.
Amen.
Do you feel that as you move through this life? Man, I feel the need for it. And I'm going to be honest, I hope the Lord helped me for a few minutes to preach this to you today because I was up much of the night last night preaching it to myself because I needed it because the week was so bad. The Lord says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, I believe this is a timely, promise. And one reason I say that is this. If you go all the way back over to the book of Ecclesiastes, which I believe Solomon wrote, and if he did indeed write it, he wrote it almost 1,000 years before Christ said these words.
Yes.
Okay? He tells you that in the first chapter of Ecclesiastes, that all things are of labor. No man can utter it. From the time you're conceived in the womb until you pass naturally from this life, if the Lord doesn't return very soon, your entire life has been one big labor.
Right. Right.
At the moment that your heart ceases from labor, you cease to be alive. Would you agree with me there? When those brain waves stop, when the heartbeat stops, when your body quits working, you're dead. And he tells you that in Ecclesiastes 9, the 10th chapter, he says, whatsoever thou will you find, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. Because he said, there is no wisdom or device or knowledge or labor in the grave.
Right.
So how do we define death? It's when labor ceases. And there is no labor in the grave. So if the Lord's telling me to come if I labor, then I believe that's right here in this time, in this life. Because this is where I labor. I believe with all my heart when I pass over that Jordan River in the spiritual sense and I'm with Him, I'm not going to labor. And I'm going to sing. I'm going to shout. I'll probably fall down at His feet. But it won't be labor. It'll be sweet, sweet joy like I feel when I come into the house of God today. I know there's some energy involved in singing. I know there's some energy involved in praying. There's some energy involved in preaching. There's some energy involved in just picking up your Bible and opening it. But it doesn't seem like work to me after I've worked all week. It seems like a sweet, sweet thing to rejoice in. And so the Lord is saying here, if you labor, come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. That's the child of God. That's the one that feels the burden of their sins, that feels the regret that they live this life and that this life is a toil. Now, there are people that aren't children of God that suffer in this life, but they don't see it quite the same way we do because a lot of times when I suffer, I know I suffer sometimes because of my sin. People that aren't born again, they don't get that.
Right.
They don't like the hangover, but they go back and get another one tomorrow because they don't understand the difference.
Yeah.
Is that you reap some of those things that you sow here. And I have in my life, but for the grace of God, would have reaped a whole lot more. But I've reaped some and I need relief. He says, I will give you rest. Now, if the Lord has promised that, if I come to Him, He would give me rest, I just believe He would do it. But He puts a condition here on it to some extent. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall. We are the people of the hard shalls, are we not?
Right.
When the Bible says in Matthew 1:21, He shall save His people from their sins, I believe He meant He shall save His people from His sins. And when He cried out in His peace, I believe He meant that part of the work was finished, and they're everyone going to be with Him. Everyone that He died for is going to be there. There's not going to be any lost. I believe that with all of my heart. But this is also a shall. If we come and we take His yoke and we learn, we shall find rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Do you feel burdened sometimes in life? If you don't, you're the youngest person here probably and you just don't know really that you're alive yet. The rest of us feel burdens, don't we? Can I be real personal with you for a moment? I hope it doesn't detract from anything of the Spirit. But I think one reason that the Lord has been teaching me some of this lately is because I have just had to cry out to Him for some rest. Because it's just been so hard to find rest outside the service of God and outside His church. The last few years, I've been living under a lawsuit. I didn't do anything wrong, but somebody sued me anyway and a bunch of other people. And I struggled with it. There have been nights I couldn't sleep because I'm sitting there thinking about it. And what if by some travesty of justice, this person wins and they come and take my stuff, you know, my house. You know, I worry about that. You know, somebody did me wrong last week. Just someone I know is a child of God, but they just undercut and stabbed me and just ripped me off out of some money. And I just, you know, those things, they pile on you, don't they?
Yeah.
I mean, they weigh and they're a burden. And they will get between you and your rest.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Okay? I know the Lord has promised rest to His children. And sometimes I wonder, am I living like I ought to because I'm not resting? Well, you know, there is a sense in which that might be true. The Lord might sometimes chastise you and you're not resting. But a lot of times I think it's because we don't really take the perspective of what He's saying here. You see, the Lord reveals a spiritual concept one chapter over that sometimes we don't think about when we think about coming to the Lord and unloading our burdens at His feet. Let me just assure you that there is not a burden that you carry that the Lord is not capable of bearing for you.
Amen.
I don't care if it's depression. I don't care if it's suicidal thoughts. I don't care if it's addictions. I don't care if it's despair. And I'm not saying medical doctors can't help you. But let me just tell you, the Lord can certainly carry it. We cannot
Amen.
Imagine or fathom the sheer power of the Savior that we worship or the victory that He wrought on that tree 2,000 years ago.
Yes,
and when He said, by His stripes you are healed, I believe you are.
Amen.
He may not heal you of every physical infirmity you have in that way, but spiritually speaking, let me tell you, He accomplished something that day. I just think sometimes we don't see the manifestation of it because here's something that we forget. Sometimes if we come in, we lay our burdens down at His feet, we forget that there is no, just as nature abhors a vacuum, in a spiritual sense, there's no vacuum. What do you mean, Brother Neil? If you struggle, say, with addiction, I have in the past, and I come and I lay that at the feet of the Lord, and I just think I'm going to walk off and tiptoe through the tulips and eat steak and ice cream and watch movies the rest of my life, I got another thing coming.
Yeah.
That's going to come back.
Right.
And the Lord tells us that in the 12th chapter of Matthew, the 43rd verse, when the unclean spirit has gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest and finding none. I'm not saying everything that afflicts you is a spirit, but the concept is there. Many times you are afflicted by spiritual things
Yes.
and by spirits of depression and all that. And when you lay something down like that and the Lord helps you and the Lord blesses you to be cleansed of that, and you don't replace it with something else,
Amen.
Okay, then a lot of times you wind up worse off than you were the first time. And the Lord says that here. Then He says, I will return into my house whence I came. When He's coming, He findeth it empty, swept, garnished, ready to move into. And then He goeth and taketh with Him seven other spirits more wicked, and they enter in and dwell there. And you know, sometimes that happens. We come and we lay our burdens before the Lord, but we forget that the Lord told us to do something else.
Amen.
I've had people ask me this at the office before when they're dealing with problems, and they say, I pray to the Lord and I lay my burdens down there, but I don't seem to get relief. And the reason they don't experience relief is because they just lay them down and they think, oh, that's it.
Right.
What the Lord requires us to do as born-again children of God who've been taught by the Spirit to come to Him is when we come and we lay those things down and we pour out our heart, we're supposed to take another burden on our shoulders.
Amen.
Okay? We're to take up our cross. Thank you, Brother Joe. I said Brother Joe is not average now.
No, sure.
I love Brother Joe and these other brothers. I love you, brother. And we're to take on His yoke, which is easy. See?
Amen.
What is that yoke like? I take all these burdens I carry around in the world and the shame that I carry for the things I've done. And I know He forgives my follies past, but sometimes I don't forgive me my follies past because I'm still living with some of them. And I come to Jesus and I lay that down, but then I forget. I just think, oh, I can walk off and I can go off and listen to this depressing music again or something like that. And the next thing you know, I'm just messed up again because I didn't take on that light, easy yoke, see?
Amen.
See, I believe the Lord intends us to lay down those burdens, to have our hearts cleansed, and to lay those things at His feet and just let Him handle it and say, Lord, I'll let You fight my battles because I can't fight them anyway. Lord, I can't get rid of my wickedness. I'll leave it with You. I'll trust You. I'm gonna give it to You. But then we're supposed to pick up His yoke and walk in that, see?
Amen.
Because if we don't, sometimes we wind up just going straight back where we were because there's no vacuum in this life. If you're not full of one thing, you're going to be full of something else.
Amen. That's
right. It's just the way life is.
Yes.
It really is like that. And it's all full of labor. And if I'm not laboring for the Lord, you know what I'm going to be laboring for? Something else. Mm-hmm. More stuff, more toys,
right.
More confusion, more things that will bring me pain down the road. That's what I'll be laboring for. I need to be laboring for the Lord. So what does the labor of the Lord, you know, look like? If His yoke is easy. I'll tell you what, I believe with all of my heart, one of the most profound and blessed manifestations we have of being able to bear the yoke of the Lord is exactly what you all did when you got up this morning and you put on your beautiful garments and you shook off the dust of the world and you drove up to Zion.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you weren't doing this, you'd be doing something else, right? If I didn't have my mind last night on coming to church over here, and in my mind, I didn't know who would be here, but I'm praying for the services, I'm praying for Brother David. I wasn't praying that they wouldn't call on me, but I was thinking if they didn't, that'd be fine, because I just need to hear somebody preach. Yes. And I'm thinking about that, but you know what? After a while, my mind started drifting. And I started thinking about all of these other problems and uncertainties. And can the lawyers get me out of this mess? And can I get me out of this mess? And oh, I said something to somebody I shouldn't have said. What am I going to do? You know what you do when you're in the middle of the night and you start thinking about that? Think about Zion. Think about the songs we sang today. Thus far the Lord has led me on. And someday He's going to carry me across that river. And I'm going to pick up palms of victory. They're going to be His victory. But I'm going to get to enjoy them. I'm going to get to taste it. I'm going to be a joint heir with Christ my Savior. And I'm not going to walk around in sinful flesh anymore. And I'm not going to cry anymore. He's going to wipe the tears from my eyes. I'm going to be with Him. And I'm going to sing about it. And I'm going to preach to myself. And he said, I'm not a preacher. Preach to yourself anyway. Listen to what the brother said and think over it and ponder it. And when those thoughts come to you, take on that yoke.
Amen.
Because there's not going to be a vacuum there. You will think about something. You will labor for something in this life. Labor for this. Mm-hmm. That Brother Darren said, I wish that every church out there was just full of people today. I wish, and this one is pretty full. If it were fuller, that would be even better. Mm-hmm. But you know, sometimes only the babes see these things.
Right. Yes.
And when you realize that sometimes the best you can do in life is just crawl, you can see things a whole lot better than when you're on your own 2 feet with your shoulders reared back.
Yes.
We know that, right? So when the burdens get heavy and they are rolling on your back and they weigh you down and all you can do is crawl, I'm not telling you to revel in it and enjoy it. But you ought to rejoice a little inside.
Yes.
Because it'll remind you who you are and how small you are. The brother said, isn't it strange sometimes that when because of providence or because we live on a sin-cursed earth or because of whatever, we don't always know, hard times come. Isn't it strange that sometimes that's the times when we're closest to the Lord?
Yeah.
You know, that's not accidental. And I'll tell you some of these other things that we're praying about this morning. Deer running into people's cars. Deer brothers in the ministry having wrecks and getting hit by drunk drivers. That's not all accidental either.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm not saying God's in it. But I'll tell you what, there is an enemy out there who is like a roaring lion. He's seeking who he can devour. He's describing the Bible as a lion, as a serpent, as a dragon. They're all carnivores. They all tear. They all kill. They all destroy. And he would love to do that to you. And when you are carrying those burdens, come to your Savior. Yes, we pray. We leave the burdens at his feet. But then we need to take up his yoke.
Amen.
Because it's easy.
Yeah.
You say, well, Brother Neil, but the church is not easy. I've been hurt in the church. You might, some people might think that. You know, I've only been part of the Old Baptist Church about 11 years now. But I have occasionally been hurt in the church. You know, I've occasionally had a brother say something that I thought was a little unkind after I preached the message. And please don't do that today. I'm already pretty low, but I have had that happen before. But you know, as I look back on that, you know what I rejoiced in? That may be one of the few brothers on this planet that can sit and intelligently discuss the Word of God with me. Thank God that he cares.
Amen.
When I was growing up in Birmingham, Alabama, which is the hood of the South now, whether you realize it or not, y'all, some of y'all don't live in Alabama. I love Alabama. I hope the Lord will let me live and die there. But Birmingham has become a bad place. But, I, you know, I've been hurt in the church. But when I was growing up in Birmingham, I mean, I was robbed. I had a gun put to my head before. You know, when I was in public school, I had to fight for my life in Birmingham, Alabama. It was rough. I'd pull guns on people to protect my property. Mm. I've never been hurt here like that. See, the burden of the Lord is easy.
Yeah. Yes,
I might occasionally have somebody correct me on something I say that may not be as scriptural as it ought to be. But you know what? At least they're in the Bible. At least they love me. They'll hug me and they'll shake my hand and they love me. And someone might hurt my feelings in the church. They're not going to shoot me.
Right.
This burden is easy if you think about it. Coming here and getting dressed up and shaking your sweet hands and eating lunch with you, that's the easiest thing I'll do all week.
Amen.
And it's a blessing. And I'll tell you, when I know I'm coming to do that, and when I'm indeed in the midst of that, oh, is it so light.
Thank you. Amen.
Oh, it's such a sweet, light burden. It's not, I'm like, have you ever heard someone, you know, maybe call a particular song, and you just felt the Spirit move through, and you kind of felt like you lifted off your pew a little bit? Mm-hmm. Or one of our really above average brothers is preaching, and you just kind of feel like, I think I'm headed to heaven. It's because the burden is so light. It's lighter than air.
Right.
Because it's the mighty wind of the Spirit lifting you up. It's better than air. It's the Lord. Now, we read in Hebrews that, the fourth chapter, that the Lord had a rest for His people. In verse 8, for if Jesus had given them rest, then would He not afterward have spoken of it the other day? There remained therefore rest of the people of God, for he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. The first part to understanding the sweet burden of Jesus is to know that your heaven is secure because your sweet Jesus already took care of it.
Amen.
And there's no work for you to do there. And to understand that the blessed church that he gave you is a blessed work. It's light. It's wonderful. It's so sweet and precious. I can't say that enough. Of how beautiful the church of God is. How beautiful the saints are. They're sweetly dressed. They smile at you. They love you. If they correct you, they do it in love, you hope, but they still love you, right? And when we understand that our eternal salvation is not about any work that we've done, and we just come to Jesus. As the song says, I'm trusting in the merit of His Son because I don't have any.
Amen.
Boy, that's a sweet rest.
Yes, sir.
But you know, there's some children of God that hadn't entered into that rest.
Amen. Help us, Lord.
And some of them just hadn't heard about it. Mm-hmm. But some of them have heard about it. But the burden of life sometimes, I don't understand why, but it just seems like it's better than bearing the yoke of Christ. I can't tell you why that is. Maybe it's all the entertainment we have in our culture. You know, maybe it's just because we have it too good. And that's why sometimes when we have it kind of bad, it teaches us some things.
Yes.
I need to be looking for the rest. Amen. You know, when the Lord made this beautiful universe that we enjoy, and I agree with Brother Darren, He made it for His own glory, but I am blessed to enjoy some of it like you. You know, when He finished those 6 days of creation, what did He do? He rested, right? Was He tired? Of course not. I mean, that doesn't exhaust the Lord. You know, he gave us an example of rest. Where is He today? He's seated on the right hand of the Majesty on high after He had by Himself purged our sins. Now, I know that there are times when He stands up, like when Stephen was getting ready to be brought to heaven and being martyred. But I mean, I believe the Lord has finished this work. He said it is finished, and He rests in that. And I think that here's the thing we should understand about when the Lord rests like He rests after creation. The example was that everybody in creation ought to rest. The Lord said, I'm giving you this day and I want you to rest on it. And that was part of the Old Testament law service, right? They rested on the Sabbath. See, when the Lord rests, everybody just ought to rest.
Yeah.
In the Lord. Now, at the end of creation, the Lord rested, and I don't want to read too much between the lines of Scripture, but I just believe everybody else in creation rested on that seventh day too. I believe they did. You know, Adam was there. You know, the animals were there. I believe, and Eve, and I believe they just rested.
Amen.
Because the Lord was resting. It was the time to rest. It's time for us to rest.
Amen. Amen.
As the Lord cried out in His last moments of agony, before He died and He was laid to rest, if you will, 3 days and three nights of that tomb, what did He say? It is finished. You gonna be with me? Let's rest in Him. We're gonna rest in Him in heaven. Okay? When I'm waiting in that tomb for His voice to rouse my body, as the song said, I believe my soul spirit's going to be with Him. The Spirit of God is quick and powerful, sharp and two-edged sword, dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, the joints and marrow. I believe when I die, that Spirit's just going to come and take my soul spirit right out of this old corpse, and it's going to take it on to be with Him. I'm not the least bit worried about that. I'm going to rest then. But I believe we can rest now too.
Amen.
Okay. He said it is finished. He's at rest. Let us rest. And when the cares of life assault you and trouble you, and I know they can be heavy, I've lived long enough to figure that out. People will betray you. People will sometimes use you despitefully. They will sometimes hurt you. Storms will hurt you. Deer will crash your car in. All these kinds of things. Leave those with the Lord. But don't go away back. Don't wait for something else to come along and fill it up. When the Lord takes away your addiction, takes away your desire for trashy music, trashy movies, whatever it is, fill it up with something good.
Amen.
Take on the sweet yoke. Thank you for your time.
Amen.